Good morning.
Good morning.
I was telling somebody a while ago, I keep coming back. I'm going to feel like I'm a member here. It is, it's always good to be here with you guys. I love your pastor. It's good to, I was surprised by him being here too. So it is good to be here. And on that note, you know, you've been working through this sermon series. And when I got the email that what the topics were that I was going to have to preach on, and then I looked at the second one. The first one was not too bad. And then I looked at the second one, and I was like, I told my wife, I said, man. She's like, well, I was like, Frank's got me preaching on patience. She's like, maybe he knows something. I was like, man. So then last week, I'm getting ready for church, and I'm going down the road, just left the house, and you know, I start getting this text message. Ding! The letter P from Frank. I'm like, what the heck is that? Send him a question mark back. Then, ding, P-A. And I'm like, and in my slowness, I just come back from children's camp, and I was in Pennsylvania. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm back. I'm back from P-A. Ding, P-A-T. I'm like, then all of a sudden, I'm sitting at a traffic light, and it hits me. And I'm like, oh, crap, am I supposed to be there today? So I call him on the phone. He goes, I'm just working on your patience, see how it's coming. I'm like, apparently it's not coming very well by the fact y'all also gave me a heart attack. I was like, I'm not supposed to, this is a dumb question, but I'm not supposed to be there today, am I? Because I think I can still make it, but it's going to be close. So thank you, Frank, for testing my patience. It's good, though. You know, as I have been praying and reading and studying Scripture about this topic, you know, you always hear, what does everybody always say? Well, don't ask God for patience. Man, after studying, what a load of crap that is. Matter of fact, according to Scripture, we better be asking God for some patience. We need His help. I don't know about you. I'm sure the rest of you got that under control. But obviously, as you can see already, I do not. If you ride in the car with me for very long, you would see that. It's also part, my wife says it's part of my nature because of what I do, driving ambulances and fire trucks for a living. I think everybody should get out of my way. The left-hand lane was made specifically for me, whether I'm at work or not, and you should get out of my way. I got places to go, right? I'm sure none of you have that problem here, right? But it's not just driving. Maybe driving's not your thing. Maybe it's just people irritate you at work. You know, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's waiting in line, you know, to get coffee or waiting for something to download on the computer. You name it, you know, because we have become a generation of people at this point in time in history that we don't expect to have to wait for anything. Amen? I mean, we want it to be right now. And I certainly am that way, and God has clearly revealed that to me, that this is an area in my life that I need to continue to work on, and not just to say, hey, here's some cool things God showed me, but really God did some open heart surgery on me as I studied this. And one of the first verses that popped in my mind, doing some reading and looking up the word patience through Scripture, came out of Galatians 5. Because, you know, it's real easy to read through the fruits of the Spirit. And we kind of shuffle those off, almost like we have got them all down. Maybe you do. But it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Do you even realize that patience is part of the fruit of the Spirit? Peace, joy, patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness, and self-control. Right? Man, I just love how God slides those things in there on us sometimes. We just read right over that. But patience is a character trait that every follower of Jesus ought to have. If you say you love Jesus and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, part of the fruit of your life should be patience. And you're all looking at me with that blank stare like, yeah, right. Hey, look, I was as shocked as you are, right? But if you read the previous list when he talks about the fruit of the flesh, it almost comes to life for me anyway, because he says, now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything else similar, he says. And if you really look through those words, don't all those literally, the fruits of the flesh, speak of somebody who's impatient? It's, I want to satisfy me now. It's about me now. I'm angry because I'm not getting what I want right now. And then all of a sudden, you get the fruit of the Spirit, and he slides that word patience in there, that we're supposed to be a people who are patient. And when you study the word patience in the Scripture, particularly in the New Testament, there's usually two different distinct views on it. One of them is the idea of bearing with other people, right? In other words, putting up with certain people. And then there's an idea of bearing up under certain situations that try us. And those are the kind of two areas that we're going to look at today. But, you know, it's just, it as I was studying just over and over again, like I said earlier, I just come back from a children's camp. My son is 8, and it was his first time going. And because he wanted to go, you know, the children's pastor at Laurel was like, hey, we always need male counselors. And you could go for free. And I'm like, yeah, this is, you're roping me into something. And so I say, okay. And of course, my son, anybody knows my son, it's me and him. We're thick as thieves, right? And he's like, Dad, go with me. So I end up in a cabin with 8 to 11-year-old boys for a week. And about Wednesday, I had already had to take one back to his pastor and told him, said, dude, I'm about to bury this kid if you don't do something with him. Just to be honest and open, you know, just goes to show you, me and Frank, kind of the same heart. Our children's pastor was out saying, I'm at Starbucks, I'm getting stuff. Anybody want anything? And my text back was a shovel, a large trash bag, some rope, and a bag of lime would probably take care of it. And other people were like, what are you talking about? Never mind. Just pretend I didn't say that. So, no, I love kids. It was good. But it did try my patience last week. So, you know, and then, you know, the work I do, you know, you run into the same people over, have a tendency to run into the same people over and over again. It made me think, even driving over today, the last shift I worked was Friday, and I picked a gentleman up twice in the same shift, a guy that we pick up quite frequently. It's easy to get frustrated with this guy, because he's had opportunities, he's been put in situations to get help, but he doesn't seem to take it. And, you know, the second time I picked him up was because he was threatening to kill himself, you know. And as I just talked with him on the way to the hospital, I sat there and like, man, this guy is hopeless. He's got no hope. You know, and it's easy to get frustrated with people like that because, you know, you're like, gosh, we're picking this guy up again. He's calling again, and it was like the fourth time he had called in 24 hours. So it had taken him like 4 times in 24 hours. And then, you know, instantly you're reminded of being patient and how patient God has been with me in my struggles and my trials. And I have the hope of Christ in me. And this guy doesn't have nothing. And so we got to have a conversation on the way to the hospital about the Lord. And I hope that it helped. All those things taught me and have been opening my eyes just to what patience really is. Patience, we see in Galatians, is long-suffering. When it comes to anger, you know, you being angry and having the ability to do something about that anger or to respond to it, but then choosing not to. Being patient, being long-suffering. It also means to endure patiently as opposed to losing faith. And just giving up, like this gentleman I took to the hospital the other day. It also means to tarry or to delay. It involves exercising understanding and patience towards other people. It involves putting up with things or circumstances. And man, that covers a wide variety of things. I look at Hebrews chapter 5, and if you'll just be patient with me this morning, The Bible has a lot more things to say about this than I could ever creatively come up with. So we're going to look at some scripture this morning. So Hebrews chapter 5, we'll jump off from there. As I'm trying to be patient with these pages that are sticking together. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 7. He says, during his earthly life, he offered up prayers and appeals and loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? Be patient with me because that was the wrong passage. James, flip to James. See, I'm already trying your patience this morning. James chapter 5. There we go. That's the right passage. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers and sisters, do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. Man, think about that the next time you are tempted to complain about somebody else. Look, the judge stands at the door. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. See, we count as blessed those who have endured, which can also be another word for patience. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome of the Lord brought about. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. And if, as followers of Jesus, the whole point of us following Jesus is that God is shaping and molding you and I into the image of His Son. Man, isn't this a process we need to learn? And just look, I mean, like five times in those few verses, He just keeps repeating that word, patience. Be patient. Be patient. Be careful about judging others too harshly and too quickly because the judge, your judge that you'll stand before, is standing at the door. Be like God. Be merciful. And man, I'm telling you, that's hard to do sometimes. Amen? I mean, it's hard to be patient with people that you constantly seem to be butting heads with. It's hard to be patient. It's hard to be patient with those who think differently or see things differently than you. But here we're just told over and over again to be patient with them. Flip to Matthew chapter 18, if you have your Bibles or on your phone. Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 26. Actually, we'll go back to verse 21 and read the parable of the unforgiving servant. Then Peter approached him and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and sister who sins against me? As many as seven times? And the Lord said, I tell you, not as many as seven, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servant. When he began to settle accounts, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought before him. And since he did not have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. At this, the servant fell face down before him and said, be patient with me, and I will pay you everything. Then the master of the servant had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan. The servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, nothing compared to what he owed the master. He grabbed him and started choking him and said, pay what you owe. At this, the fellow servant fell down and began begging him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he wasn't willing. Instead, he went and he threw him into prison until he could pay what he owed. And when the other servants saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed and they went and they reported it to their master, everything that had happened. Then, after he had summoned him, his master said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And because he was angry, his master hated him, handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. So also my heavenly Father would do to you unless everyone you forgive. So also my heavenly Father will do to you unless every one of you forgives his brother or sister from your heart. Man, that is a stern warning right there. And again, he throws that word patient in there. What was the thing he cried out for? Be patient with me. What is the number one thing you and I need from God? Oh, God, please be patient with me. I know that I need to do better here. I know that I should be doing more here. I know that I need to change my heart here. But be patient with me. Help me. And God promises to help us. But man, here he gives us a stern warning too. That as he is patient with us, man, we better learn how to be patient with other people. Amen? And it's not a patient excusing sin. Hey, it's okay. They can sin and do whatever. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about there's other people who are struggling too, just like you, right? And just because you have it together in this area, it doesn't mean they do. And we need to learn to be patient with them. We need to be long-suffering with our brothers and sisters to help them. To encourage them, right? So many times, me included, we're quick to say, man, what is their problem? When are they ever going to learn, right? But how much time do we spend praying for them? How much time do you sacrifice that maybe you take them out to lunch or to dinner or for coffee and say, hey, look, man, I've been down this road myself. I've had some things going on, and man, I just want you to know I'm here. I'm here to help. I'm here to pray for you. I'm here to encourage you. If you'll let me, I'm here to challenge you and push you at times. Man, we all need that. We need that patience. We need someone who will lovingly be patient with us and help us through this journey. 1 Corinthians 13:4, Paul says, love is patient, right? How many times do you say you love people? Oh man, I love people. I love the church. I love the body of Christ. I love my kids, I love my wife, I love my husband. And Paul says, love is patient, right? So does that show in those relationships that you have with people? Sometimes, right? Hey, it's the truth. It's honesty, right? Sometimes it does. Man, I love my son to death, but sometimes, after about the 1,300th question in a 5-minute car ride, man, my patience is worn thin. But as I've studied this, it has just convicted my heart every time. Just even the other day, we went to an event last night where I got to speak, and he went with me, and on the ride home, it was just question after question after question, and some of it's good stuff, and some of it's just, you know, frivolous 8-year-old boy, and his mind's all over the place. Asking me things I have no knowledge of, and I'm just in my temptation to not be patient and be frustrated that he's asking me a million questions, I just remembered, man, I only get him for so long, and he's going to be gone. God, help me to be patient. And then I tried to tune in and listen. Yes, son. Son, your father has no idea. I don't know how tornadoes are started. He's fascinated with them. I don't know why God does that. But at the same time, man, we've had some great conversations. Just this week, he was all over the place about heaven, man, how he can't wait to get to heaven. And then I'm like, I can wait a little longer for you to get there. I love your passion for that, son, but let's just let God handle that, right? And so just learning to be patient with people. Those people we love, man. Patience, man, it's easy to wear it out on people we love, isn't it? But it's also easy to wear it out on people we don't love, that we don't know that well. So there's no discrimination with impatience, right? We all struggle with that. 1 Thessalonians, flip over there, chapter 5. And as I said, man, the Bible is a lot more informative. These scriptures help us a lot more than any creative thing I could come up with to say, but it's important. I mean, just look at all these times that we're reading about patience. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. He says, "And we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone." Not the people that you love, not the people that are like you, not the people that look like you, not the people that talk like you, not the people, you know, that you're comfortable with, but be patient with everyone. Paul says, man, we exhort you. We are telling you this is necessary. You have to do this. We are challenging you. Warn those who are idle. So it's not a sissified thing. It's not a laid back, well, we don't want to offend nobody. The pastor said, we got to be patient. People said, we just got to be patient. No, warn those who are idle. Those who are doing nothing. Those who just come here and say they're part of the church, but they're just sucking up air. Warn those people. But at the same time, I love that he says, and comfort the discouraged. This is all the mission of the church. And help the weak. But in all of that, because in all of that, Pastor Frank knows sometimes as a pastor, it is easy to become frustrated as the leader or as a follower of Jesus, that people aren't where they're supposed to be. And in all of that, he says, do all these things, but be patient with all of them. The weak, the idle, be patient with them. But don't hold back from them. But man, do it in a way that shows love. Be patient. Ephesians 4. Verse 2. We'll start at verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to live worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. How's the body of Christ supposed to function? How are you at Real Life Chapel here supposed to function with one another? You are supposed to do it with all humility. You're supposed to encourage and challenge each other to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received, and to do it with all humility and gentleness and patience. Again, right? Some of you are like, man, I had no idea the Bible talked this much about patience. And I'm not even covering all the verses I came across. We're just covering a few. There's a whole lot in Scripture about patience. And the next time somebody tells you, man, don't pray for patience, you tell them, you better get praying for patience, because you need it and I need it, right? And then 2 Peter, just give me a little more grace and a little more patience. 2 Peter, listen to this. This is, to me, one of the most challenging ones that I came across reading through the Scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord does not delay His promise, as some understand delay. And even that word delay is tied into the word patience of not when it should be. But then he goes on to say this, but the Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and on that day the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will burn and will be dissolved in the earth, and the works on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, it is clear what sort of people you should be in holy conduct and godliness as you wait for the day of God and hasten its coming. Right? Man, just think about those words. The Creator of all the universe, the one who will judge, who we will stand before in judgment, every one of us, it says of Him in Scripture that He is patient with you. He knows that you and I are not as we ought to be at this very moment, right this very second, right? He knows you're not where you need to be. He knows you got some distance to go. He knows I have some distance to go. But aren't you thankful that in the passage it says The Lord does not delay his promise as some understand delay, but he is patient with you. Right? He's talking about the return of the Lord. I mean, I don't know about you, but I would love for him to come back right this moment. That would be awesome. We'd be out of here. No more humidity and August heat on the shore. I am done with that, man. Right? But aren't you thankful that God's giving you time? Think about some people that you know that don't know Christ. Aren't you thankful that God is demonstrating great patience with them? Because his desire is that all people would come to know him and be saved. So the idea of, oh, well, you should never pray for patience. Just tell people, that's stupid. And that's a bunch of crap, because the Bible teaches completely against that when it says that verse right there, that God is patient. We should pray and thank God for his patience. God, could you just be a little more patient with that person? That person, think about it. Everybody right now has a picture of that one person in your mind who gets on your last nerve, right? I want you to take that image right now, and I want you to thank God. God, I thank you that you're being patient with them, because you have demonstrated tremendous patience as you have worked on me. And who am I that I should desire anything less for them, but that you would be tremendously patient with them? I know I would like to wrap my hands around their neck right now, but I also know that that would be sin. And so I thank you that you're patient even with me in this moment as I'm having murderous thoughts about that person, right? See how easily we are that we need his patience when we're thinking of somebody else who's on our last nerve? Instantly, we should be praying for them and ourselves, right? I believe God gives us clear pictures in these verses and warnings of how to deal with stress and how we must submit ourselves to his school of patience. Forget that idea. Submit yourself today to God's school of patience. We live in a society that we can get stuff fast. Netflix, Amazon Prime, for goodness sakes, they do drone drops now. You can have it the same day. Texting, right? I don't know about you, but man, one of the places, and I'm just going to confess it now, being she's not here, is one of the things that drives me nuts is when I call or text my wife. I mean, everybody's got a daggone cell phone now. When I need to ask her a question and I call or text her and she don't answer her phone, it drives me crazy, right? I'm like, you got your phone right on you. And she's like, I didn't hear it. I was like, because you keep it on vibrate all the time. What if I needed you for an emergency? And then it's not usually an emergency, so then I look bad. But it tests my patience when that happens, right? Or when you text somebody something that's a simple answer, like a yes or no, and they make you wait 15 or 20 minutes or an hour, right? Okay, I'm the only one that has that problem, because y'all looking at me like, man, it don't bother me, right? But we're in a society that wants everything now. We want it in 5 minutes, where a few years ago we would have 5 hours for that response, right? And not thought it a big deal. But now it's got to be right now. I want it now. Imagine if there was a spiritual thermometer that we could shove in our mouth to check our spiritual temperature. And imagine being in a frustrating situation with somebody and somebody shoves that thermometer in your mouth, right? How long would it take for your temperature to rise? Now, let's go a year later. Same situation. Would that thermometer take longer to rise? See, I don't know about you, but as I've been praying and reading over the last couple months, and I have found myself at times, I thought, man, okay, I've been praying for patience. I've been reading scriptures about patience. I think I'm doing pretty good. And then Pastor Frank texts me P-A-T, you know, one letter at a time, and then my patience is gone, right? And I'm like, I thought I had this thing under control, right? So this is not I can just pray about it and I'm done with it. This is going to be, listen, to be the bearer of bad news, this is going to be a project that you and I are going to continue to work on every moment of every day, every encounter with every person, every conversation, every frustrating situation that comes along. We're just going to have to keep depending upon him, keep memorizing those scriptures, hiding them in our heart. But if we're doing better a year later, it shows that we're growing in patience. God's helping you to deal with stress. It takes you longer and longer to get frustrated or irritated. Patience is translated from, again, from the word long-suffering, which means we will display restraint in situations where most would feel they have the right to criticize, complain about, defend against, and even attack another's behavior. I don't know if you've been in those situations, but as a pastor, I have, where I was publicly criticized and attacked, and as a pastor, man, as a man, my response was to defend myself. Right? And I get a great chance to do that, don't I? You know, every week I get your attention. I could stand up here and just tell you what I think, right? But I can't do that. And man, God used that to humble me. And man, I'm going to tell you what, that was one of the most trying times in my life. Because I had to sit and watch this man in my congregation week after week after week, knowing he was openly criticizing me about a situation that he was wrong in. Biblically, it was just wrong. And I couldn't say anything. I couldn't tell anybody else about it. The only person I could tell about it was Frank. You know? I wanted to go in a board meeting and say, man, this guy is wrong, and this is why he's wrong. Blah, 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 right? But I couldn't. I had to extend patience to him and grace to him and mercy to him, and I had to keep my mouth shut. And man, it was difficult. It was hard. But God taught me a lot through that, and he's continuing to teach me. Just because we can respond doesn't mean that we should respond. Amen? But this virtue goes even deeper. And the idea that we'll reflect mercy toward the other person as a sign of our strength of character. We'll not only refuse to defend ourselves, but we'll turn down an opportunity to offend the other person. We will suffer long before we get upset. And as we close, there's another kind of patience in the New Testament. The kind I talked about, which means under or to remain under. The virtue encourages us to learn how to remain under unavoidable pressures of life. I know this is a part you're going to get excited about, but this is stuff you have absolutely no control over. You get sick. You get the phone call that nobody wants to get about a loved one. You lose a job, you know, whatever it may be. It's often translated in the scriptures, not as the word patience, but perseverance, or to remain. And as I said, we can picture this as a huge, heavy bag that we carry on our back. We're not talking about overcommitting to our do list or overextending our resources or putting ourselves in compromising situations. We're talking about stuff outside of our control. Illness, a spouse that goes through a dark and difficult season. Our child is born with a birth defect. The sudden phone call that somebody you know or loved has been in an accident and is gone forever. We can in this situation easily turn to the wrong things. Alcohol, drugs, to ease the pain. Easy to just throw our hands up and say, I'm done, I'm out of this marriage, and get a divorce. Easy to say, you know what? You did this to me. This is what I'm going to do to you. I'll get you back. I'll get my revenge. But in these passages, God encourages us to remain under the pressure of the situation because it's the right thing to do. And that's what I was telling you about that story. I had to remain under the pressure of that, knowing I was being wrongly accused, falsely accused of something, right? And it made me think about Jesus being falsely accused, right? Being tortured, being whipped for our sin. Not in any way that I'm like Jesus in that, but I got a little taste of what that must have been like, and it was overwhelming to me. So I can't imagine what he went through. God encourages us to remain under that. He encourages us to do the right thing, to stay in that relationship, to keep on working on it, to learn to forgive and move on. God can and will provide us strength and the motivation and the resources to work toward change through those difficult situations. These last few verses that I want to share with you come out of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. So don't throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you need endurance. You need to learn how to bear up under this, so that after you have done God's will, you may receive what was promised. Right? Clearly teaching us that we need endurance to learn how to bear up under the pressures of life, those things that happen to us that are out of our control, so that when in those moments, when we have done the will of God, well, what's the will of God in those moments? To live a life that pleases Him. You're like, in the midst of losing a loved one, in the midst of struggling with a relationship with my spouse or my children, or some illness, I've got cancer, you want me to bear up under that and to somehow please God? I can't even fathom that. But God will give you the strength. You're right, you can't do it by yourself, and neither can I. But God will provide the strength for us. Hebrews chapter 12, just flip over a page. Listen to what he says in verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. And here, the writer of Hebrews is telling us that we need to learn how to bear up under the pressures of life. When sin is crouching in around us and we are tempted to give in to that, we have got to learn to run the race with endurance, bearing up under the pressures of that, but not caving to it. Think about Jesus, who endured the cross, who bore up under the stress and the strain of the cross and the crucifixion, keeping our eyes on him. Amen? And last, I just want to flip back and read, if the worship team would come up. To me, this is one of my favorite chapters, and I'm going to jump in a little bit through this, but I would recommend you read through Hebrews 11. I just find it to be an amazing passage of Scripture, an encouraging one. And I know he's talking about faith, but man, so many times in our life, we're tempted to cash our faith in because we're discouraged and we feel like we have no hope, but we have to learn to bear up under these pressures of life. And listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. By faith, Noah, after he was warned about what not yet had been seen, and motivated by godly fear, built an ark, delivering his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he had called, was called, obeyed and set out for a place that he was going to receive an inheritance. He went out even though he didn't know where he was going. But by faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that had foundations, whose architect and builder was God. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, and since she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. Therefore, from one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, came offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and as innumerable as the grains of sand along the seashore. Do you see the patience these people had to deal, the bearing up under the pressures of life? These all died in faith, he says, although they had not received the things that were promised. But they saw them from a distance and greeted them and confessed that they were foreigners, temporary residents on earth. Now those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland.
If they were thinking about where they came from, they would have had an opportunity to return, but they now desire a better place, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a place for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He received the promise and yet was offering his one and only son, the one to whom it has been said, your offspring will be called through Isaac. He considered God able even to raise someone from the dead. Therefore, he received him back, figuratively speaking. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. And he worshiped, leaning on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, as he was nearing the end of his life, mentioned Exodus, the Exodus of the Israelites, and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. For he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt behind and not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered. He bore up under it as one who sees him who is invisible. By faith, he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites. By faith, he crossed the Red Sea. Can you imagine the stress of that? All the criticism he had already received, then he gets to the Red Sea and they're like, so you brought us out here to die? But by faith, he crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry land. And when the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after being marched around by the Israelites for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute welcomed the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed. And what more can I say? Time is too short to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength in weakness, became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Other people were tortured, not accepting release so that they might gain a better resurrection. Others experienced the mockings and scourgings as well as bounds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They died by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world wasn't worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and on mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these were approved through their faith. But they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, so that they would not be made perfect without us. How can you read that passage of scripture and not see the supernatural patience that these people had to deal with? These are not just some story in the Bible. These were real people facing real issues, following the God they trusted in, exactly like you and I, just at a different time. And God extended great mercy and patience to them as they faced these trials and they came out as overcomers. See, this is why it's important for us to learn patience, because we'll never conquer our fears and our anxieties and our worries if we don't learn to have patience and trust in God. Because the minute trials and tribulation and things begin to press on in us, our first thought will be, I'm out of here. I'm done with this. This isn't working. Obviously, God's not real. Man, in the last month, we've had two prominent Christians in our culture who have said, I'm done with Christianity. It doesn't work. I mean, can you imagine that? They don't have the patience to wait it out. They don't have the endurance to sit and say, I can't figure all this out, but I'm going to trust that God knows what he's doing. Don't be that person. patiently humble yourself in God's presence. Ask Him for His help. Ask Him for His guidance. And no matter what comes your way, no matter what comes my way, may the God of this universe strengthen us. And man, we want it today. God, I need strength today. I don't know what you're facing tomorrow. Maybe you're already dreading tomorrow as you go back to work. But patiently sit in His presence and ask Him to help you.